women tend to, or those who identify as women tend to second guess themselves. If the boxes aren't all checked, we're wondering if we're qualified. If we don't hit all the marks, we're wondering, will we really be able to get this opportunity?
Welcome to Breaking Money Silence, a podcast series aimed at helping all of us talk more openly about money. Your host, Kathleen Burns Kingsbury, is a wealth psychology expert who is doing what she does best, speaking about taboo topics. International speaker, author, and founder of KBK Wealth Connection, Kathleen understands money and our relationship with it. Now, here is Kathleen.
Hi, this is Kathleen Burns Kingsbury, the host of the Breaking Money Silence podcast. This year in 2024, we're doing a special series all year long on unleashing your true value, specifically designed to help women advisors and related financial professionals identify and communicate their value so they can earn more, be more profitable, and have greater financial well-being. We're going to have guests from the financial services industry, coaches, consultants, people who can give you a different perspective and offer different tactics for unleashing your true value so you can feel better about making sales, feel better about earning more, and ultimately we can close the gender wage gap in the wealth management industry. So I thank you so much for tuning in, and I hope you enjoy this week's episode. Today, I am joined by Cameo Robinson. She is the founder of Atlas Park Consulting, a business coaching and fractional COO agency for financial advisors and wealth management firms. Cameo and I met at a professional networking association, although we've been traveling in the same circles for a long time. So it's really great to get to know her a little bit better and to be able to interview her today on the Unleash Your True Value series. Her company helps leaders execute their growth strategy, drive revenue without feeling overwhelmed. Doesn't that sound nice? Their solutions help clients improve business processes, streamline operations, and systemize the day-to-day so they can be prepared for the next level of growth. Prior to starting her own firm, Cameo spent more than 15 years in client service and operational trenches as a fee-only and fee-based advisory firm. I am so excited to have you join us on the Breaking Money Silence podcast today. Welcome.
Thank you so much, Kathleen. I'm excited to be here, and thank you for the invitation to be on your podcast.
Yes, yes. Well, I think there's so much knowledge you can certainly share with advisors, but also around this idea of how do we unleash our true value? How do we communicate our worth? How do we make sure that we don't let imposter syndrome get in the way and actually get in the way of growing our business and actually getting in the way of earning the type of revenue we should be earning? But before we get into all of that good stuff, I want to talk a little bit about business models, because the listeners to our podcast are women and male financial advisors. They're financial professionals, but there's also people who aren't in the industry who might be considering entering the industry. So I just want to be really clear. We both know that advisors work with a variety of different business models. So for someone listening in, it could be somebody, you know, a wealth manager at a bank. It could be somebody at a wirehouse, think like a Morgan Stanley or a UBS, or it could be somebody that's working as a registered independent investment advisor, a registered investment advisor, an RIA. And so you work primarily in the RIA space, but tell me a little bit about those different channels, just at a high level, like how are they different? And then we'll take a deeper dive into the RIA space.
Yes, happy to. And I think that's a great place to start, is helping your listeners understand the different advisory business models that are out there. So you mentioned the first one, a wealth advisor could work for a bank, like a Bank of America or a Wells Fargo under an employee model. And so they are employed directly by those institutions and providing their wealth management services. In a similar capacity, wirehouse advisors or those who work for Morgan Stanley or UBS are also employees and will promote the products and services of those individual institutions. And the last model, where the most fun happens, in my opinion, is the RIA model. That's the Registered Investment Advisory model, where owners literally call their own shots. They've decided to go independent, hang up their own shingle, be a business owner and a practitioner, and can literally chart their own path as a business owner. So that model, in my opinion, definitely provides a lot of flexibility, but there is more risk involved because everything is on your shoulders.
Yeah, you know, I'm an entrepreneur at heart, having been in business for over two decades now for myself. And I tend to like the spirit of the RIA. And that's probably because I value freedom and independence. But you're right, there are additional risks to taking on the whole business yourself or with a partner versus being an employee of one of those other channels. So Absolutely. Tell me, I know you are very passionate about RIAs. You just said it's like where the fun happens. And one of the services that you offer, which I think is really cool, is you help advisors actually transition from one of these other models into launching their own RIA. So what is it, other than you think it's really a fun model, but what is it about that particular business model you like? And why are you so passionate about helping people kind of jump into the independent channel?
You know, Kathleen, similar to yourself, I have always been passionate about being an entrepreneur, and I have deep roots in building my own company and ideas that I had when I was still working corporate. So the freedom in being able to build your own business, your own version of success, and really chart your own path is what gets me most excited about working with independent advisors. And because of my experience over two decades working in this space, I know what goes into starting, growing, and scaling these advisory firms. And so I find a lot of joy in helping these advisors cut down the learning curve, right? There's so much to know. And if you've never worked in the RIA model before, you have a lot of questions. And so I'm able to come in and help these advisors really set up shop strong from a foundational business perspective, from an operational perspective. And when they finally launch, not just tell the world I'm open for business, which is great, but actually be primed to start working with clients and generating revenue.
Yeah, that sounds great. I wish when I was starting my own consulting business, I had someone like you to walk me through the steps and save me time and energy. That's some of the work that I do for my clients. But when it comes to women advisors in particular, I have had people who have just launched their programs and come to work with me privately or in my group coaching. And what is really cool is I focus on very different things than you focus in on. So yeah. I love that we can both be really helpful. And I love that you set up the processes and systems and you help people, with a variety of things, but build that foundation because that's not my sweet spot. So I love that it's yours.
And I love that you have your sweet spot too, and that we can complement each other.
Yes. And so one of the things that I'm really exploring in 2024 and beyond, and part of the reason I'm having this series on Unleash Your True Value, is that our industry, this isn't going to be a surprise to you or anybody who's listening, is predominantly white male. And so we have been trying for years to add more diversity, to have more women, to have more people of color, to really broaden that out. However, it tends to be that we're kind of flatlining. I know there's been some progress in the RIA space. I know there's been a little bit of progress with CFPs, but having been in the industry a long time, I'm like, come on already, let's get there. So I am curious, you know, you've worked obviously with a variety of different advisors, but what in your perspective is one of the greatest roadblocks for women advisors in this industry? Like, why have we stayed so flatlined in terms of our presence?
I think one of the greatest roadblocks to women being successful in this space, and I'm going to start there, and then we can talk about how it may look for a diverse professional like myself, being a Black woman. So really believing that you can be successful, right? Belief, that's where it starts. And then understanding that the statistics are out there. Women tend to make better advisors. Our ability to listen and show empathy And so going back to the belief part and how you want to show up and impact the lives of your clients, those are the biggest roadblocks and the things that we as women tend to forget in terms of being value.
Yes, getting out of our own head and standing in our belief. And I believe there's some, and maybe this is changing. I think we're of two different generations. I'm a little bit older than you. I think that it's changing a little bit with future generations, but still kind of these mixed messages women get about being profit motivated, if they belong, you know, working around money, these kinds of things, which feel like they should be totally antiquated, but I don't think they are.
Yeah, it can be a challenge. You know, when you think about, you know, women even working in this country and being able to show up as their authentic selves and how we've been raised too. You think about that, our own attitudes and dispositions regarding money, building wealth. Some of that is rooted in our family histories, right? And in how we grew up. And so all of those things come into play. And I think women who understand how they were raised, their upbringing, how their thoughts around money were developed can help bring light to making some changes and understanding that they too have the capacity to generate wealth for themselves.
Yes. And so you also mentioned women like yourself, women of color that are in this industry. What are the added obstacles for someone who is a person of color trying to break into a very white industry?
Yes. And this goes into just the historical facts around who controls wealth in this country. And typically African-Americans do not and have not controlled a significant amount of wealth. And so the individuals who are in charge, namely white men and white women in particular, it's hard when you haven't seen that modeled in your own household. It's changing now. There's more African-Americans who are embracing, learning more about wealth and making great strides there. But I think back to even my parents and my grandparents' generation and just not having a true understanding around how wealth works, how to generate wealth, or systemic racism that has been in place for quite a long time, preventing communities of color from really building wealth. And so those roadblocks have made it difficult. And then when you think about being a woman of color entering into a space that doesn't look like you, it can be hard. Me coming from a background where my parents instilled in my brother and I that we could do what we wanted to do and really tried to model things appropriately for us, we knew we had to show up and be better and do better to get the same opportunities as others. And so that has been ingrained in us and has helped, and probably is very similar to a lot of stories if you talk with other communities of color, to show up and be your best self and to do what you need to do to be successful.
And I really, you know, want to acknowledge that we need more representation. And I think the latest stat is something like 3% of CFPs are people of color. Is that correct? Do you know?
I think that's correct. Yeah.
Which is dismally low. So there's a women issue. There's a certainly a diversity issue. So there's a lot of big issues here. Yes. But let's get back to kind of what do you think the steps are that a listener can take to remove some of these obstacles? You know, the parts that are in your control.
Absolutely. I think one of the first things is just understanding the challenges that are there, and not turning a blind eye to it. Understanding that mentorship is really, really important. And how can you show up in the lives of, you know, someone from communities of color to really support them getting a stronger foundation in the profession? Understanding that there's a relationship that could be involved there. And so really putting yourself out there and considering mentorship with an individual. Also knowing that working with individuals who may be different from you from other communities may have a different skill set. You can learn the technical knowledge in financial planning and investment management, but emotional intelligence, which is key to being able to work with clients effectively. And so thinking about who you could reach out to that's outside of your normal network are some ways that you can get involved.
Yeah, last month we interviewed an advisor who really believes in mentorship. She's been doing this for 25 plus years. And I think, you know, the idea of mentorship is so important. What do you think about sponsorship? Do you, maybe you can explain the difference, and is that also part of what you encourage people to go for?
Sponsorship in what regard, Kathleen?
Well, I guess sponsorship in terms of, you know, you can be mentored in your career. Sponsorship is really being, having someone in your corner that can give you either stretch assignments, or suppose they can't do the engagement or work with that client, they can refer you. I know it can be really beneficial to have someone not only mentor you, but to also sponsor you in terms of helping you move forward in that way.
Oh, yes. I completely agree with that. I think sponsorship is key. As you think about someone who's trying to grow their business, trying to grow professionally, and any opportunities that you can send their way that's going to help strengthen that muscle, I think is going to be a strong step forward in addition to mentorship.
Yes. And so let's talk again about gender differences. And I want to, you know, acknowledge that gender is fluid. And I want to acknowledge that not everybody identifies as a woman or a man. And I want to appreciate that. I want to be inclusive. And at the same time, the research that's out there, and often the way in which it's broken down in our industry, is women advisors and male advisors. Right. So in your experience, what do you see is the difference in terms of, and it's fine if you don't agree with kind of what my premise is, I would love to be proven wrong, the difference between how women advisors, you know, on average, embrace their value proposition versus male advisors. You work with both. Tell me the differences that you see.
Right off the bat, the differences that I see is women tend to, or those who identify as women tend to second guess themselves. If the boxes aren't all checked, we're wondering if we're qualified. If we don't hit all the marks, we're wondering, will we really be able to get this opportunity? Or what I notice with men is there's a sense of fearlessness present. And even if the boxes aren't all checked, they will confidently step out and promote themselves. And so those are probably the two most glaring differences that I see.
Yeah, it's kind of the fake it till you make it socialization of a lot of men, you know, or the, some can frame it as overconfidence. It may just be confidence. And as I know, as a woman, I was always sent the message, whether it was overt or not, you know, make sure you don't get full of yourself, like be successful, right, but not too successful.
Right.
And it's, so it's a really mixed message. And that's part of the reason I love coaching women, is because there's so much to unpack. And once you unpack it, they can really stand in their value. Not that men couldn't use this service as well. I just think there's a different dynamic that's happening in our society and in the industry.
Yeah, I would agree with you. And I think some of that, you know, goes back to how we were raised and coming from different generations and the messages that we learned. So it's great that you're coaching women through those challenges so that they can really show up, shine, and let people know about their value proposition.
Now, do you see a similar difference when you look at, you know, say a Black advisor who's a man versus a Black advisor who identifies as a woman?
I see similar challenges between both, actually, women advisors and Black male advisors, and it more so around opportunity, right? There's a confidence that's there, but what I'm seeing is not really getting opportunities for growth, not getting opportunities for promotion, having to work even that much more harder.
So there's, I imagine there's that loop, right? Where it's like, if you have someone who opens the door for you, or the door is open more easily, it's a little easier to feel more confident unless there's a lot of other stuff going on. And so it's really making sure, and I think you serve this role of having role models and really encouraging people to give opportunities to everybody, because, you know, I think everybody deserves a chance to prove themselves. Unfortunately, it doesn't work that way all the time.
No, unfortunately, it doesn't. But what I can share from my own experience is when you are intentional around surrounding yourself with people who are supportive and can help get you to the next level, those opportunities for the door opening happen more frequently.
Yes, absolutely. So Let's switch again, because I'm always fascinated with the part of you that helps people with processes and systems. And I think I'm a very organized person, yet processes and systems are not really bringing me joy. I love hiring other people to do it. So I think it's great that you're working with people around that. Let's tie it to demonstrating your value. So how do you think, if you build this foundation and you have these systems in place, how is that aspect of business going to actually help the female advisor demonstrate their value?
So one of the things that I recognized in my corporate career was working with clients, and those first few days of the onboarding and the clients are feeling like a little nervous around what's going on. And there's so many moving parts and so many moving pieces. They're concerned about their assets coming over in good order. Is this the right advisor for me to work with? Did I make a good decision? Advisors, in particular, women advisors who have their operations in order, how they do business, how they orchestrate their onboarding, tend to create more confidence in that onboarding process from day one versus an advisor who hasn't taken the time to figure out what that looks like. That confidence then builds over the course of time, letting the client know, I made a great decision. Not only did I make a great decision in working with this team, they have it all together. Not only do they have it all together, I then want to tell my friends and family how well I'm working with my advisor. And so there's this multiplying effect that happens when you methodically think about how you need to orchestrate your onboarding to create client confidence, to create client referrals down the line.
I love that, because it's another piece of the puzzle that's going to help internally with your confidence. But yes, making sure your client is going, I hired the right person. And when I think about, because I've worked with a variety of advisors over time, we've been with our advising team now for a long time, but the latest ones. But when somebody was kind of more haphazard, you know, it could have been we had a lot less assets back then, or it could have been they didn't know about you, Cameo. but versus, you know, the team that we work with now that really clearly has a client experience, and there was a way in which you felt like your, for lack of a better word, hand was held at the beginning of the process. So that is really interesting. And I think really something for listeners to think about, that instead of having a mindset like I had early on in my business of like, I'll get to processes and systems. Mm-hmm. And now many years later have gotten processes and systems, that doing it from the get-go can really be so beneficial.
It really can. And even beyond, you know, that initial onboarding with the client, creating confidence in that advisor that they're taking care of their clients well from the start, beyond the first year of engagement, as the firm continues to grow, as the team may continue to grow, having a defined order of operations, business systems that have been adopted makes life so much easier for the leaders. And at some point, you want to establish complete business reliability. And you can do that when you take the time to build in the systems in your company.
Definitely. And so for you, I have watched your career, at least over the past 3 years. I know you've had a long career in the financial services industry, but over the 3 years that I've known you, I've watched you really grow. And one of the most exciting things as a fellow author that recently happened was you co-authored a book. I believe it just came out like a week or two ago, and we're in February pre-recording. It's called Financial Trendsetters, Revolutionizing the Role Women Play in Building Wealth.
Yeah.
So tell us more. Tell us about this book.
Oh, I'm so excited about this opportunity with 15 other women trailblazers in financial services who've come together collaboratively to share our stories of triumph, inspiration, and how we found success in a predominantly male industry, what that looks like for us as individuals, how we want to impact the lives of women in particular with building wealth, building businesses, creating financial freedom for themselves. And I'm really excited to be a part of this because this is an opportunity for me to share my story. Kathleen, transparently, there was a time when I felt like my story didn't matter. And so I didn't share it. And so this has been a very transformational period for me in being more vocal with the things that I've gone through, the things that I've experienced, in hopes of inspiring others.
Well, I cannot wait to read it. That is certainly right up my alley, and certainly encourage people to check that out. We are going to put a link to the book in the show notes. So, I'm really glad that you're comfortable, or more comfortable, sharing your story, because I'm sure there's a lot that can be learned from it. And you just continue to be this role model that I'm impressed with. The other thing you're welcome. The other thing that I'm really honored to be part of, it's funny, I haven't applied for something in a long time as a speaker. And when I applied to be a speaker for the Planning Your Profit Summit, I was like, ooh, I wonder if I'll be selected. It was very, so I was very thrilled when I was selected to talk on Unleash Your True Value. But I want you to tell our listeners a little bit about the Planning for Your Profit Summit. I believe this is the second year, and I was just saying before we hit record that you are got all sorts of processes and systems for us speakers that are very impressive. So I know this summit is going to be well organized and really good. So tell us a little bit more about the summit, and then how someone who's interested in getting tickets could get tickets.
Yes, Kathleen. And thank you for agreeing to participate. You know, when I saw your application come through, I got really excited, because knowing your presence in financial services and the work that you do with advisors, I said this would be a great compliment and a great collaboration effort. And that's really what the Planning Your Profit Summit, Maximize Your Money, the Business Development Blueprint, is about. Collaboratively coming together with professionals who also work with financial services professionals, advisors, CFPs, tax professionals, to help this community understand how to win more prospective clients on a consistent basis, how to impact your networking partners so that you have greater impact in their lives, they have greater impact in your lives, and you can really systematize referral sharing, how to normalize that process, right? We always talk about referrals. How do you get referrals? What does it look like? How you can leverage your network to do that, to then systematically grow your revenue and grow your business. And so this was a hand-selected group of 10 speakers who are coming together on May 22nd and May 23rd, 2024, to bring our collective wisdom to help this community really systematize, maximize your money, and really leverage the power of your network to grow your revenue and grow your business.
I just get excited about that. It's just, I really can't wait to learn from the other speakers as well as yourself. And I really encourage people to check it out. Again, I think the thing to hold on to is you don't have to be a financial advisor. You can be in a related profession. You mentioned CPAs. I imagine potentially like people who are in the bookkeeping industry, anybody who really touches the financial space, I think, could really benefit from this. So I'll put a link and a registration, a link to the landing page and a link to the registration in the show notes.
And I will also say, if you consider yourself a trusted advisor to your clients, you should absolutely be in the virtual room.
Excellent. So say, like, how do you define trusted advisor? Just so, like, yeah. An estate planning professional, someone like that as well?
Yeah, an estate planning professional could definitely find a lot of value. We have a woman who is an estate planner on the speakers list, so she'll be there, as well as CFOs, bookkeepers, tax professionals, insurance agents. So think of an extension of a financial advisor's team. If you are a financial advisor listening to this, who do you have on your team that would consider themselves a trusted advisor and an extension of that relationship to the client?
I love that. It's like the whole dream team. I used to talk about the financial dream team. So the financial dream team coming together to really learn from each other and to be better. So again, excited to participate. And, you know, time goes so quick. I feel like I could talk with you for another episode or two, but we do need to wind down today. So tell us a little bit, Cameo, if you had to offer like one piece of advice for those people listening in about unleashing their value, what would it be and why? And then tell us a little bit about how we can find out more about you and your services.
Absolutely. So one thing I would share with your listeners to really tap into is your inherent value, your inherent uniqueness, and your unique experience. And when there's moments and you're questioning yourself and you're wondering, what am I doing and why am I doing this? Coming back to that belief in yourself and understanding that you are important just as you are, I think is a great starting point that I'd want to share. Because when life happens, and it happens to all of us, you want to be able to come back to a sense of who you are as an individual and know that that's enough and you are valuable in your own space.
Love that. We have a fan club going on with each other here. Great takeaway. So where can people find out more about your work?
Yeah, so you can follow me on all the social channels, Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn at Atlas Park Co. That's AtlasParkCo. You can also find me on my website, atlasparkco.com, and connect with me or follow me on LinkedIn. I'd love to hear from you.
Excellent. Well, it has been so fun talking about your work, talking about how we're going to collaborate going forward and helping people listening in think about different ways to unleash their true value. So thank you so much for breaking money silence with me.
Thank you so much, Kathleen. It's been a pleasure chatting with you and speaking to your audience today.
Thank you for listening to Breaking Money Silence, hosted by Kathleen Burns Kingsbury, a wealth psychology expert, author, and founder of KBK Wealth Connection. If you like what you heard today, be sure to subscribe on iTunes or your favorite podcast app and leave a review. Also, share this episode with your friends and family. It is a great way to get the conversation started. For more money talk tips and information, or to hire Kathleen to speak at your next event, go to www.breakingmoneysilence.com.